Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast, where we are bringing you a pretty hefty series of doable changes. And this is all because we've just launched this new document checklist thing you're just going to want to hang on your wall or have in a special place where you can go to each week and pick one thing to focus on, one doable change, and you're going to be gravitated to the right thing each week, and you're going to look at it and you're going to play with it and you're going to figure out how to fit it into your busy life, because this is the way that we make healthy changes stick. So we pick one thing, we focus on that one thing, and then we just have fun with it and we try it out. We try it on for a whole week. And a week is long enough to change our habits and to really fit it in. But it's also short enough that it's something that's not going to work for you in the long haul. You haven't wasted that much time. It's just a week. And what I find is that when you focus on one thing at a time, it's not like there's not this whole train of other things that are following along with you. But as you start really tweaking that one thing, it really allows space for those things that you already know to do and already have put into practice in your household, but maybe don't practice every day, or a sick day gets you out of alignment around it. It helps you make space for all those things too. So in this case, it's a win-win. So if you haven't yet gotten this little ebook, this mini ebook, that's what I'm going to call it for now, then go to plansimplemeals.com/101changes. That's the number 101. And that link is in the description of this episode as well. So each day for 7 days, and we're kind of a little over the halfway point at this point, I have been going over 7 of the 101 doable changes, so that altogether over the course of 7 days, I will have sort of expanded on, let's say, 49 of them. And today our focus is going to be family and those changes that impact the family. And I just want to say that on each episode, I'm saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for ease of the episode, but these are all in this mini ebook, but in a they're different numbers. I'm pulling them from the ebook, so they don't map back to the numbers in the list, but it's quite an easy list to scan. Okay, so number one of in the 7 changes that I have pulled off of this master list to talk about that really I think impact the family. So this is a big one. Tell your kids how good you feel after eating the right amount or the right thing. So I just want to give you a little backstory on this one, which is that I have a memory of growing up and remembering so many fun events, you know, think Super Bowl parties and Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I grew up in New Orleans, so there was no shortage of fun events happening. And they all circled around food. And I have this memory of, you know, people, family members, guests, just, you know, fully indulging myself too, right? Because I just followed suit. And then sort of afterwards saying out loud, oh, I'm so full. What a great day. Now I'm going to go lie on the couch. And it's just this message that in order to have, when we're having real fun, when we're really partying, we don't feel well at the end, right? So have you heard that message at all in your life? So one of the things as I started to get healthier that I noticed was that we never do the opposite. And it was in this moment where I was feeling like we were nagging the kids a lot to finish their vegetables or eat this or eat that. And I was like, we know that kids learn by example. So what if we just say out loud when we actually feel good? and have that just subconsciously going into the back of their heads. So for example, like at dinner, there might be extra food on the table, but I would say, oh my gosh, like I could have more right now, but I'm actually feeling pretty good. So I'm going to take that as a sign that I could stop now. Or, oh my goodness, I just had the best salad. That makes me feel so good. I'm so glad I had that big salad for lunch. So see, you're really just celebrating yourself. And I have to say that you're sort of celebrating it to model, but it also changes your awareness around food. So it's kind of a win-win. So I love that one. That's one of my favorite ones to play around with for a week. Okay, here's another one. Empower people in your house to help you chop. So, or any food prep. So if you have little kids and you're like, I'm not giving them a knife yet, don't do that. But do listen to episodes, interviews on this podcast, because I do find that that comes up a lot, that there are, a lot of educational parents who are into education and into cooking that do give their children knives at early ages. I was one of them. It's a part of the Waldorf curriculum, which is where my kids go to school. And, at a very early 3.5-year-old nursery age, they were definitely cutting apples. And we were empowering them to do that. So let kids help you. If you're not comfortable with the chopping, that's a sign that probably you and your child aren't ready, so don't do that. But there's so many food prep things that kids can help with, from washing veggies, scrubbing potatoes, washing lettuce, and doing the salad spinner. So many things. So figure out a way that kids can get involved in food prep for a week, right? Play around with it. A lot of times I've experienced, and I hear, that when I let my kids help, it takes too long. So that's part of this experiment. Part of experimenting for a week is figuring out, okay, where can I fit this in? Which day do I have more space? Do I only have space on the weekends? Or is there a day when actually, like, I'm not that stressed out about my work and the kids get home early from school? And if I really put my attention to it, they could help out. Or maybe it's the morning. Maybe your kids wake up super early and they're always kind of annoying as you're packing lunches. Well, maybe it's then. Maybe they could actually be helpful. They could get dressed, come down, and help you peel those carrots. All right? So, number three is this is a fun one. Look up a new country with your kids. Discover the culture and try to make their food. So, this was something we had fun with early on as I first started getting into food. It was at a similar time that my oldest son, he was, 5 or 6, and he was super into cultures. And each year he would have these funny themed birthday parties. So, one year he was really into Native Americans, and another year he was really into ancient Egypt. And both those years on his birthday, we had a lot of fun looking up, like, what do they eat in those countries? What did they eat back in the time that he's actually thinking about? And sort of pulling together food from a whole different culture and sometimes a whole different time. And it's just a really fun way to learn and get buy-in on new ingredients that you might not get buy-in on if you just threw them in. So, and you don't have to be so elaborate. It could be that you just look up a great Mexican dish. Or, go back in. This is a great way to bring in stories. Where are you from? Where are your ancestors from? Where is your spouse from? Is somebody from Italy? Like, is someone from France? Do you have a good friend in France? Like, how can you tie that in to really connect your kids to the food and to stories and have fun making food? Because that's just a really good excuse to, open a cookbook. And I personally find that sort of Asian recipes, Mexican recipes, Italian's pretty easy these days because there's just so many ways online that you can look it up. But those are some of the easiest ones that will end up being gluten-free and dairy-free if you try. Obviously, straightforward Italian is not at all gluten-free and dairy-free, but there's a lot of awesome people out there making those translations for you. And if you hit upon something that you're really eager to do and you don't know how to switch it up, make sure to come over to our private Facebook group, Healthy Moms Meetup, and You can get to that by going to healthymomsmeetup.com and signing in if you're not already on there. Or just if you're already on there, just pop over and, say, I'm trying to do this. Anyone have any ideas for how to make this dairy free? Like, it seems like it has a lot of dairy in it. And I'm sure somebody will chime in. If you tag me, I'll chime in. All right. So far we have three, and now we're going to move on to number four, which is make a list of 10 ways that you can get exercise as a family. So, a lot of times, what happens in our busy lives is that if we have active kids, we'll enroll them in sports. And as they get older, that gets crazier and crazier. And sometimes we end up having them do more than one at a time. And sometimes that's a lot of driving. And sometimes that gets in the way of our own activity. And other times, when we don't have active kids and they're doing other activities, that still gets in the way of our activity. Plus, we're not giving them the activity that they need. So, just having a list just that you post on the fridge, or that you have on a chalkboard if you have one of those somewhere in your house, of the 10 ways that you can move together, it's just a great way when everyone's like, I'm bored, what should we do? You're like, I'm always with you and I never have time to go to the gym. Just look at that board. Go on a walk together. Go on a run yourself where the kids are biking. If you have little ones, throw them in a stroller. Do jumping jacks. Do jump roping if it's freezing outside like it is here, and you just need to be inside. Have a dance party. Like, make a list of fun ways that you can all move your body. And this isn't necessarily about like long-term exercise and, fitness for either of you. It's we get energy by moving our bodies, and it's just a really good tool to have just for 10 minutes a day, even if you already do soccer and get to the gym. All right, so make that list of 10 ways you can get exercise as a family. And just to reiterate, I've given you now four ways that doable changes that you could integrate in your life to get healthier and happier. But no matter what you hear that you like, you're going to go download that document and then you can mark off the ones you like. But you are not going to focus on more than one at a time. I promise? Because that really makes this doable. If you take all 47 and try to do them next week, you are going to burn out. If you do one at a time, they are going to build upon each other. And when you look back in a couple of months, you're going to have a whole bunch of awesome habits that you're going to be really, really proud of. Okay, number five, make popsicles with your kids instead of buying them so that they're free of all that processed sugar. So there are definitely a couple, new brands that are coming out that have less sugar. But for the most part, the popsicles that are in the supermarket have a lot of sugar, even the organic ones and the organic sugar at Whole Foods and our co-ops. There just is sugar in popsicles. It helps preserve it. It's just what's there. There are definitely a couple brands, and so you're going to have to start reading labels and know about grams of sugar. But popsicles can also add up in cost, and they're really yummy to have as we move into spring and summer. So think about this. How can you play around with making them from scratch? What systems can you put in place? Can you make them every Sunday? Can you make them every Sunday and Wednesday? Can you get the supplies? There's lots of little things that can go into making this system work in your house. Can you empower your kids to help you? Can you show them how to do it? Because here's the deal. All you have to do is make a smoothie and pour it into popsicle molds. And in a smoothie, you sweeten it by a date or two or by a little bit of maple syrup. And otherwise, it's just pure fruit. There's no gums. There's no extra stuff. We've made really yummy ones actually as well, like more creamsicle kind, where we'll put cashew cream and then orange juice. Like, you can really get fun with this. And we'll be posting some fun recipes as spring progresses. And you can also Google this. There's so many fun ideas online. But popsicles are a really fun thing to play with as we get into the warmer weather and see what it's like to make those from scratch and show our kids that it doesn't always have to be about the ice cream truck and, what you can get at the grocery store, that some of these really fun things we can make together too. And another thing is as we get healthier and healthier, This is a total aside. One of my strategies is sometimes to take things out of the boxes so we're just reacting to the food. But and homemade popsicles, though, I think are a really fun way to add back in some of that color because some of the molds are just they're just fun. So you can also just go get Dixie cups and popsicle sticks. Just make sure to get food grade popsicle sticks, okay? And do it sort of the old school way. That's totally fun too. But if you're playing around with molds, it's just a fun way to, almost be like that marketer for your kids and bring in something really fun that you didn't have as a family a couple months ago. So, number six is plant a garden or a pot of herbs with your kids so that they really understand where food comes from. So, if you live in a cold place like me and you're listening to this when it goes live, you're not quite ready to plant a garden, though you might be ready to start planting seedlings inside. That happens around this time of year, even in New England. Or you make a plan for how you're going to make, you spend a week just playing around with how you can make that happen in the summer when it's time. Do some research if you've never done this before. Lettuce and radishes are super easy to grow and super gratifying because they grow pretty quickly from seed. And this was my trick for getting my kids to like both those things totally by mistake at an early age because there is nothing like, or in a carrot, that's another one, but it takes a little bit longer to grow. But there's nothing like pulling something from the earth and seeing it and tasting it and really, having it. If you are in an urban environment and or you're in a place that's colder and you're just like, yeah, but I do it for 3 months of a year and it feels like a waste of time. I do that. I do have a plot, like a garden plot, but I also have this system that can be inside or out on the patio part of our yard, and is really easy and vertical. And if you ever want to know more about that, you got to come over and tag me on Facebook or you know what? You could actually even email me, mia@plansimplemeals.com, and I will give you the lowdown on that system because it's kind of amazing. Can't believe I just gave my email on a podcast, but that's how much I love that system and how much I believe that growing vegetables can really, really, really make an impact on our kids. And it's just a super fun way to, get our own veggies and source our own veggies. If we let it be, it takes practice. I was not a natural at this at all. The first year, actually, I had a garden and I forgot to harvest everything. It got really overwhelming. But over the years, we've learned what we need to plant, how to plant it, when to plant it. And really, in the summer, you can kind of like live off those things. And it's fun. It's really fun and a great way to bring kids into healthy eating. So there might be like a number of doable weeks within that, what I just gave you. But right now, this week, a doable strategy would just be figuring out the how. Like that would be your week's focus. How am I going to fit gardening into my life? Do some research. Come join the conversation on Facebook. Buy some seeds. Start looking at the packets. Get excited. Plant some little seeds in a sunny area in your house or learn how to do that. Really fun thing to do in the spring. All right, and number seven, which I think is what we're at, but I just want to scan. It's funny this time. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yep, this time they were all spread out over the 101. Sometimes they're a little bit more in an order as I've been recording these. So I'm just scanning. So number seven is last but not least. This is a really good one. And one that I'm constantly adding in because you can sort of add your twist to it. And that is to recommit to family dinners. And that's going to look a little bit different for everybody. So number seven is recommit to family dinners or commit to family dinners if you haven't committed before. But this looks like commit to family dinners X nights a week. So it might be that right now you're consistently having dinner 3 times a week. So your focus for the week is how to have family dinners 5 times a week. Or it might be that you're having dinner right now, what you call family dinner, 7 nights a week. But when you really look at it close, like you and your husband aren't always home at the same time, or there's a child who's always out at an activity. So what does it look like to recommit, to re-upgrade? So maybe it's about getting everybody there, you know, a certain amount of times a week. Or maybe it's about the food. Maybe it's about really getting the food squared away so that you're all eating the same food. Because I know I've talked to a lot of you who make multiple meals every night for dinner, and that is not something that's sustainable. So how can for a week you focus on getting the same food on the table for family dinner? Or if you're like, I've got all that, we're eating the same thing, we're having it 7 nights a week, is the conversation awesome? So how can you upgrade that? How can you use family dinner to really hone in on what you believe in as a family, to get on the same pages, to really understand what each person in the household's going through, to share? One of my favorite strategies for, you know, younger kids, but that it's funny, it's carried over into my kids. So, you know, it really was in its heyday when they were like 2, 5, and 7, I guess. But as the oldest is now 13 and the youngest is 7, the 7-year-old is the one who normally brings it up, but everyone's willing to participate. And that is the thorn and rose, which is, I feel like it should be called the rose and the thorn. That would be less confusing. But basically, you say, like, you know, what went really well in the day? That's the rose. Like, what went really well today? And then what was one thing that was like a little bit hard? You know, what was that thing that that didn't go quite as expected? And, you know, when they're 4, it's, you know, it's very in the moment. It might be about dinner, you know, that they love this and they didn't love that, or, you know, about some play that they were just playing with before they sat down. As they get older, the problems get more complex. And it's like, you know, I did really well in that moment in school, or it was really hard when somebody didn't talk to me. And actually, if you go back to the very beginning of the podcast series and listen to my interview with Kim John Payne, we talk, that's where I originally, from his book is where I originally got this idea. And so we talk a bit about it. And it's really helpful to listen to what he says, because it's important that we don't try to fix problems. This is just getting them out, listening them, holding the space. It's using the dinner table to hold the space for anything that comes up, rather than be mama and papa fix it. Got it? And then the other beautiful part of the thorn and the rose is what we do in our house is, so we do the rose and the thorn for the day, and then we sandwich it. So we also do then the thorn and the rose for the next day. So we're starting and ending with the good, but in the middle of that, it's like one thing that today didn't go quite as expected and one thing tomorrow that we're a little bit worried about. And it's just a fun tool to sort of hear about the day. And I find that when I say, hey, what happened today? I get like nada from 2 of my 3. One of them will tell me everything, but 2 of my 3 don't get very much. But in this moment and at the dinner table, I get a lot more. So, you know, conversation, what's happening at the dinner table, that could be a focus. So there's, I feel like I could do a whole podcast episode, in fact, like a whole month-long class on just dinner alone. But that's a really good one for just playing around with and upgrading what's happening at the dinner table. So those are 7 of the sort of more family-focused doable changes from this master list of 101 doable changes that I would love you to grab and to really to commit to looking at weekly and picking that one thing that's going to help you, that's going to help your family and pull you guys forward. So if you haven't gotten that yet, you can go get it at plansimplemeals.com/101changes and download your copy. And actually with it, I have created a series of, I think, 7 or 8 emails that sort of follow up and pull you along and in writing pull out some of my favorites and how I would implement them. So it's kind of like a mini course that's delivered in your inbox. So I hope you guys really enjoy that over the next few weeks. And then I just wanted to tell you guys that I'm also going to do a free webinar. So one of the strategies that I have really loved, and I feel like there's parts of those within these doable changes, but I really love when it comes together, was when I really redesigned my mornings. And They've changed over time as the kids have changed, as school situations have changed. This year, as you guys know, I'm homeschooling, whereas last year I was getting the kids out the door. But I find that when I set up my mornings to really set my day up for success, both in what I want to accomplish as a human being in my work and how I show up, what I need to get done for the kids and around our house, and for what I want to eat. When I'm really taking care of that holistically, first thing in the morning, it makes a huge impact on my day, on my weeks, on my month. And so I want to teach a class on that. So if you go to plansimplemeals.com/learn, you can also sign up for that. And it's coming up soon. And it's going to be really fun, really jam-packed. And in this hour-long class, you are literally going to redesign your morning so that you have this schedule. It's not schedule is the wrong word. You have this new flow that's going to really help your days take off. So if that is exciting to you, I would love to have you. And I do have to say that this all came about because of I would hear about all these people living these amazing lives, and I would always hear them talk about their mornings. And I just thought, like, I was definitely using like work and being a mom and all these things as being a time when that just it wasn't my time to make my mornings work. And so that's when I developed my mama morning, and it's game changing. So I hope to see you guys there. Again, it's plansimplemeals.com/learn. All right, you guys, I will see you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.